Welcome to the Grace Hour Show. It's a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Ryan Regan, and I'm joined with Julius Thompson in the studio, and today we are talking about creativity and imagination. And when we think about that subject, I was trying to figure out, where does creativity come from? And I was like, okay, God. God's the OG creator.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes,
we're done.
Great. Yeah. See ya.
We're done. But actually, there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
And did you have something you wanted to start us out with?
Yeah. A God is the first one. Like, think about the God of the entire world. Like, he's the master, and he created you and me. You know, that's his greatest creation was actually you and me. Like, he actually formed us from dust. And I think just to sit back and think about that thought is huge, that he would actually, you know, actually made man, the, you know, the earth, the sea, the sky from nothing. I think that's amazing, and it shows you, you know, kind of what's in his heart, and it's to create life in us, and you know in this world.
Yeah, it says, like, even in Genesis, where it talks about in the beginning he created the heavens and the earth, like you said, but he also says, like, he created it out of a void. Like,
yeah,
it was empty, the world was empty. And I think that that's also where we can be creative and imaginative, like, in the void, in the blank spaces. You know, like, where, you know, when you're dealing with something, or I think, like, it's important, you know, we start our day out with God, you know, in the morning when there's less distractions, you just sit there and you just think and ponder, meditate with God, and let his thoughts guide you into a creative realm in one sense. And I think, like, also the complexity of his creation, like, of you and I, and all of humanity, like, he created us in his image, but also so unique. Like, we're all the same, but very different.
Yes.
And I think that also, because he created us like him, we all have creativity in us, whether it's utilized properly or not, or even like, you could be way more creative than I could be, or vice versa, or creative in a different aspect. Like, I'm not musically creative.
Yeah.
You are. Yeah. Or maybe I am, but I don't tap into that. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, that's not where I'm going to focus my energy on. Like, let me sing and, you know.
Well, it's funny. I mean, I hear that a lot, you know. Like, I don't have that ability.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not creative. And, you know, like, I don't think that's true. I think to be creative, you know, if we're talking about music, someone told me once, you know, to actually write a good song, like, you have to write, like, a bad one first. You know, and people, it's kind of in us to want to, like, skip that first step. Like, I can't be bad at anything.
Yeah.
You know, like, I have to be good at it from the get-go. And instead, you know, I could, you know, actually work at it, and God can do something in my heart kind of in the process, you know?
Yeah.
So
it's like, you don't want to fail, and sometimes failure can be your, or the idea of being a failure can be a stumbling block and prevent you from, it's like when Jesus was like, step out on the water.
Yes.
He was like, I can't.
Yes.
He like was afraid to fail in that moment, and he was losing his ability to walk on the water.
Yes.
And he could have. And I think, like, kids can get that way too. Or, I mean, all of us can, but I think as you train a child, like, we have kids, and your son's like, no, I can't do that. No, I don't want to do it. I can't. And you're like, yes, you can. You have to just think it through.
Yes.
Try.
Yes.
And then even, like, as kids, like, I think that's a great time to start learning how to be creative. Like, you just throw something in front of them and watch them. They just, like, build things or create this, like, whole imaginary world. And you're like, where did you learn this? And they're just thinking about it. Yeah. Like, it's just something they do.
Yes. I mean, it's amazing to think, you know, like, a 5-year-old, he is, like, he can be, you know, kind of be whoever he wants to be, you know, in the sense of his mind, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm a frog today.
Yes.
You know, like, okay, so you're a frog today, you know, and he's, you know, doing his thing. And I just, and I've noticed, especially actually working with kids, there's a process that actually takes that away.
Mm-hmm.
you know, like I'm not creative. And I think, you know, it says that the fear of man is a snare, you know, it's a trap. And I think that's one of the things that can take away that from us. Like, I'm afraid, so I don't want to like be seen as a fool. Like, I don't want to, you know, think of something that, you know, isn't cool or is weird, and then I can really put myself in a box, you know?
Yeah.
It's a part of being like a teenager, you know, like I'm not creative as I was in, you know, first grade. It's probably because I'm afraid, you know?
Yeah. You're more aware as you get older too, of like the challenges of life or where this decision could take you. Like as a kid, you're just like, ah, whatever, I'm going to jump off the roof. I can fly. I'm Superman, you know, but you're just like, as an adult, you're like, no, don't jump. But you don't want to also like stifle that either in a child, because you want them. And as we get older, of course, your brain starts functioning differently. So you're a little bit less maybe creative as you get older and older.
Yes.
But I think it's very important to like cultivate that as you're younger, and then continue to cultivate it as you in your everyday life.
And I just want to say that's a plug for music, you know, to actually learn to play an instrument as a young person. It kind of helps you kind of fight off that fear of judgment in a way. Like I can continue to make things and create. Yes, it's in a different way, but I'm not like completely shutting down. Like I'm not afraid of people. Like I can speak in front of people on stage. I can play an instrument on stage. That really helps me.
Yeah.
Helps my confidence and my, you know, it makes me a well-rounded, you know, person,
individual.
I think that's what we want, something that I want for my family, you know what I mean? So just a question for you. I mean, thinking about being creative, if there's a theme for a conference or like decorating or food and you do have that blank canvas, like what is your thought process?
I think it depends. Like if it's like a theme, obviously the most, the first place you might go is whatever the theme is, and you're very literal. Like, the theme could be like sweetness, and you're like, oh, candy. And you kind of just like jump off of those things. And I think for me, I can think, I kind of just get quiet and think about it. But I also like to work off of others, like in a group. What do you guys think? Like one idea comes out and then it jumps to another idea and you kind of just blow it up. And then I tend to go like really big with my ideas. Like, let's do this.
So
and then
you
have to kind of like narrow it down. Yeah. Fair like, well, that's never going to work. But I think like if I'm planning a conference, like the marriage conference, I really have to get alone with God because I don't want it to be about me.
Yes.
Like a game or an activity that's a little bit different, but I also want it to have purpose for why we're there doing what we're doing. Like the first few years I was planning the marriage conference, there was a joke because I would be like the day of, I would just sit for like a couple hours in the room that we were in and I would just pray. And, you know, like somebody was like, oh, you got to go do your prayer now. Pray over the, you know, but I was like, no, it's really important because I want to come into it with an idea from God about where we should take this night. No, so it's not just like me and my like natural, we should talk about this and we should do that. So like, I really want to get God's mind on it. So that's like the more spiritual part of being creative. But I think like a lot of creativity can come up from somebody else's design, you know, like Pinterest is a whole thing of like other people's creativity and imagination. And you like, you can look at that and you can think about it and how will that work in this scenario? How will that work here? And maybe we're trying to figure out something for the lobby, like a new design for the walls or whatever. And you know, like for me, like I like to take inspiration from somebody else because I can be inspired by them.
Yes.
Not that you're stealing their idea, but you're playing off of it. And I would rather think big, like you and I were just talking about, like huge thought, than like, no, we can't do any of that. And I'd rather like, I know we don't want to fail, but I would rather try something knowing we tried it and it didn't work than to not try it because we thought it wasn't going to work.
Yes.
Unless it's like something.
So you spoke about purpose. I think that is huge when you make something or create, I think like a lot of effort and strength can go into like making something like, I'm going to be creative, I'm going to make this thing and it's going to be awesome. But a lot of effort and strength doesn't mean a lot without purpose.
Yeah.
And like direction, like what is this for, is a question that I like to ask. And it's for God.
Mm.
And if he is first, like if his way, like in his life comes first, then I don't actually get lost. You know, like it doesn't become vain or actually vanity. It's like being creative is actually sticking to like what the purpose of this thing is. And that personally helps me with music. I think one of the things that helps me be creative is actually listening to people. Like you said, like I really listen to people. I don't like do everything that they say because sometimes like they might not have the full picture of what is happening. So you kind of have to pick and choose, but, I can take a little bit from this person, like a little bit from there. And then I put it together and then it's like, oh man, it worked. And really it's not me. Like it's God. It's like God, he gets all the glory.
Yeah.
For this thing, and I was just like, just maybe open to it, you know, to see what he would do, you know, in this thing. And I think that this week, and maybe this is something you can talk about a little bit, I've seen the connection with like being creative and like faith, you know, faith is like seeing things that aren't seen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I can create something, that's not there yet, but the only way that I do that is by having faith, not just in like me or the idea, but in, you know, God. So what do you think?
Yeah, I think like a lot of our imagination is faith-based. Like,
that's a nice little segue from being creative to imagination.
Imagination.
Nice.
Faith. Okay. I mean, it's true. Like in Hebrews 11, it talks about faith as the assurance of the things that we don't see. So like we've not seen God in his physical form, you know, so we just have to imagine him. And like, I probably picture him differently than you picture him and other people picture him. And, but also it's like faith leads us to believe things and can imagine things. And it also can lead us to be hopeful, you know? And I think like you have the Bible as a guidebook, because without the Bible, we probably wouldn't be as easy for us.
Sure.
But the Bible, like he talks to us through the Bible, and it kind of sets the tone. And I think like if you look at creation, and like another segue back into creativity, like I get a lot of creativity from stepping out of my situations. Like vacations I think are important. Mm-hmm. And I think it's good to just get away, stop thinking about your, like, put your problems aside, put your work away, and think. Like, you go to the beach, you go to the mountains, and you just look. Mm-hmm. You know, you sit on the porch, watch the beach, like, watch the waves. You just look out, and you're like, okay, what the heck?
Yes.
Like, how did this even come about? Or the mountains, and you're just looking, and you're thinking with God, and you're, then you can maybe start thinking a little bit clearly more about other things. Like I would come back from summers with like a whole new menu idea for the cafe. Like, oh, let's do this and that.
Yes.
They don't really work in our setting.
Sure.
But I loved that creative part that I could just come up with some new stuff and let's try it. Let's do this. It's like something fresh and inspirational. Not inspirational, but something fresh that came to me. But yeah, I think like faith is like that. And just us being creative in any sense, I think, is bringing God glory, because he created us to be creative.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously our creativity can lead us into different ways. Like I was thinking about how like an artist in the world who doesn't have God can create because God made them to create, even though they don't give him that due respect, or maybe they don't attribute it to God. But it is from God. Like you can create because God, but maybe they're not creating in a way that honors him. You know, like it's not that anything's bad with just being like an artist, like a painter or whatever, but like you have that gift because God gave it to you.
Yes.
And I think like that's where we have the leg up as Christians or in the church or whatever, because we can take that talent that God gave us and really like really purpose to show glory to God in it. Yeah.
Yeah, like I think it's important when you create, like you speak about glory, it could be for my own glory, mm-hmm. you know? And what is my glory? It's not great, you know?
Yeah.
It's not yeah. good. But God's glory, like I like to think about like a light just actually shining on who, you know, God is. Like if I want to create something and if that thing would have a message, it would be like about God's love, who he is. And I feel like that is where we're at our best. Mm. Like if I'm actually making something, like it has to have God's light, you know, his love in it. And I think that can sometimes speak louder than anything I could say, you know? So it's amazing. And I'm so glad that we can do stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. Do you find that like in your ministry with music that you can be creative and imaginative while still, you know, like maybe you change a song a little for worship or whatever, and you can put your creative touch on it, but it still brings God glory. Like, I think that there can be two sides. You could change it to a way that really isn't going to honor him, or maybe like set the tone in the wrong way.
Yeah.
Or set it in the right way. And do you find that it's, okay to like try something knowing that maybe it won't work out?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's half of the music ministry, trying things that never really happens. Actually, I can speak to that. I think of, you know, my office and Olivia and myself, we have probably charted tons of songs that have never worked out, because we get, to go time and it's like, this is not right.
Yeah.
For some reason, for the spirit of it, for the execution of it. And then we don't do it. But I think it's important to keep like the main thing. Like Christ is like the standard. And kind of within that box, I can be creative. Like we have switched the lyrics up. We've done a lot of things to make it work, make, you know, special events work, you know. But, I feel like I have that freedom and that liberty. If I'm like in tune with what, you know, God is doing in his word. And also if I, you know, keep the main thing, you know,
but you still had that like process of, collaborating together and coming up with something and using your creative process together, which I think is great. 'Cause sometimes it's more about that in the end, like, okay, we did something together. We put our creativity together and it formed like some sort of bond in a sense. Like, I think that's what friendships are like. That's what relationships are like. Marriages, you know, like it's better to at least like, oh, let's talk about this together. It didn't work, but it was like that process was great, you know, like, and then maybe we can think this for something else, or it didn't work for this situation. Let's like put it aside and try it again later, you know?
I mean, like you're speaking my language now. Like I love that, because really, you know, I work with 40 volunteers. And I don't pay them because they are volunteers, but like I want to listen to them.
Yeah.
I feel like that can really help that friendship, and not just like listen just to get it out of the way, but like really care about what they have to say. And that kind of gives them like a seat at the
table.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And that is important to me. Like, I don't want to be a superhero, you know, like we create together, like you said. Even if the thing that we come up with at the end isn't great, it's like, man, you know, we spent time to together, and we had the same heart and the same spirit. And I think that is so important, you know, so important for your team. It's, to me, it's another opportunity.
Yeah. And it kind of makes you a team. Rather than like, this is what we're doing and this is how we're going to do it.
Yes.
And it's like, okay,
do it this way.
Great. It's all Julius's ideas or Ryan's ideas all the time. Like, I like how I was thinking the other day about the ladies missionary tea or the women's seminar. It has been a different woman running it every year. So you kind of get to see different creativity each time. And like, I think is great, because you can kind of get stuck in a rut. Or also get bored of the same thing, and people, like you said, want a seat at the table, and not everything should be
at the table.
Yes, but but at least somebody knows, like, I have
just something.
Yeah, like, I have something to offer. Sure. And I think also, like, if your heart is in the right spot, because somebody can always say, like, I have an idea. Yes. And you're like, okay, well, are you okay if your idea doesn't go through? Like, are you okay giving your idea and us not running with it?
And some people aren't okay with that.
Yeah, or they just always want something to say.
Yes.
Which, there's a place for that in certain aspects.
For sure.
I think also, like, back to what we were saying about having, like, these great, huge ideas. I think, like, also it's good to have that, but then we have to kind of keep them in check because we could always be trying to do something new mm-hmm. all the time and not do what we do well. You know, like, if we're always trying to change something or always, you know, like, we all know people who are like, oh, I want to do this today, or I want to be this, like, I'm going to change my job to this now, and I'm going to, and you're just like, I can't keep up with you. How do you keep up with yourself? Kind of a thing. Like, if you're always like, I think we have to be content also with what God has given us and okay with how much creativity that I have or how little I have, maybe.
Like, I think, you know, we spoke to this, but I can be creative without a purpose and a plan. Mm. And that's the part, like, the plan part is important. You know what I mean? And I think to have, like, a work ethic is super important. You know, like, I can very well be like a visionary. Like, in my heart, I do think I am that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean much if I'm just, like, throwing out visions and I don't do anything. I don't do any work, or I'm not loving people.
You don't want to be part of it. That's good. Love is good. Loving people.
Yeah. Like, actually, like, getting, like, your hands dirty. To bring people, like, along. Like, I do feel, I mean, this is, I don't know how to say this really, but I do feel like sometimes I have an idea and a vision and I have to sell it a little bit.
Yeah.
And then it's like by faith, honestly, I'm like, this could fail. But I sell it, and then God does the work in the end though. You know what I mean? Like, I do think, you know, it's a thought and an idea that, you know, God gave me, and I have to stay, like, built up, because sometimes I can have an idea. I think it's really great for the music ministry and I'm trying to sell it, and I just get, like, blank stares, like,
you're like, oh,
or
okay.
No text back, or I'm like, I thought that was great. That was a great idea.
Or, like, nope. Somebody shoots it down.
Yeah.
So you kind of also have to be okay with that.
Yes.
Like, okay. Oh, my whole office hated what I just had to say. Okay. Moving on. You know, like, yeah, and of course offenses will come, but I think you have to be able to handle those offenses with God.
Yes.
And it's okay. Maybe God gives us these ideas, but he doesn't necessarily want them to go through. Or somebody can shoot it down, and you're like, I'm going to try this anyway, and let's see where it goes. And maybe God can change those people too.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, we didn't see what you were talking about. Or it could be, I just didn't express this clearly. You know, like, I turned it over in my heart with God, and then
that
here's how it came
huge.
Out. And it's like, Oh, that's weird, Ryan. Like, what are you talking about?
That is huge. Yeah. Like, I have a vision and I have to communicate it effectively.
Yeah.
I have to. Or people can be confused, or they don't know the purpose of it. So I'm not really signing on because I don't even know why we're doing this.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like,
that's a weird idea.
That's weird. I don't know why we're doing that. So to communicate, and that becomes easier if you have a friendship, you know, mm-hmm. with a person. So things that can kill my creativity. I mean, what do you think?
Fear, like we said.
Yeah.
Or I don't know. Did we talk about fear? We talked about fear.
Yeah, like
failure.
Fear and failure.
Fear
and judgment.
I think my own thoughts, if they're not right, can steal. I think, like, also, like, in our minds, we can think about situations, and I mean, really, imagination is just all, like, thinking about things in your thought process. And I think one of the things that can kill it is my own wrong thinking, you know, like, maybe about a situation or how a situation is going to come about, or about people. And, you know, like, I can imagine a situation is going to go one way and it takes me down this wrong way of thinking. And then I've just been blocked into, like, any other positive thoughts, you know, like, any other thinking that's right. Like, this happened, or this person looked at me this way. And, So then my mind just goes like down the street, and it's like, no, that wasn't even the case. So I think like fear, failure can hinder it. I mean, other people can, if you're gonna hold on too tightly to what somebody's comment might be to you, to your idea.
Mm.
Not thinking about things, like not thinking with God, you know, not being available to be creative, not using your imagination. I think like maybe too much stimulation can be a hindrance too. I think you have to have the right balance of that. Because if you're like always, say like all I do is watch TV all day, I'm going to lose my imagination and my creativity because I'm just feeding my brain with whatever somebody else's thing is.
Consumption.
Yeah, yeah. Like it's too much. Like I, like not everybody thinks the same way, but we like really limit at home our, you know, like TV time for our child. You know, for Mason, he gets it. Like if he takes a nap, he can watch a show or two.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't just, or even what we watch, like we'll watch a show that it's like a baking show or something that he's able to consume because his brain is still like functioning. But we would rather him be creative on his own rather than being stuck to be entertained by something else.
Yes.
So I think like we limit that, and also we have to kind of limit it for ourselves too. Like lately we've been reading books rather than like watching TV. Okay, we're going to have book time. Like all of us have book time together. So we're reading. And I think even reading somebody else's work helps you to be imaginative. Like absolutely. It's like reading the Bible or reading a novel or a mystery or something. You're like, oh, what's this person look like? Or well, I wonder what God meant when he, like, what did he really mean here? And you can see it all in his creation everywhere. Like you look around and it just, if you're open to being able to just think those things, like, let me look out there and just think about stuff with God and see where he's going to take me. And it kind of can just open you up to being available to do other things with him.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think too much stimulation can be a hindrance also.
Yeah. Yeah, like I can watch TV. It can be kind of mind-numbing, you know. I'm not...
On purpose.
On purpose.
Like, sometimes you need that.
To, like, zone out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I was just thinking, like, it's important when it comes to the imagination that we're grounded in, like, reality.
Mm.
It's like a strong and a healthy like imagination. It's kind of grounded as well.
Mm.
And it has to be grounded in truth and what's real. Like I have, you know, I've talked to many people who have great ideas. They have a great imagination. They have great thoughts, but there's a disconnect with like what they're capable of doing or the purpose of what they're doing, you know? So it falls flat. So I think that's super important when it comes to having a really healthy imagination, you know, it's to be real, you know? And I was thinking like, imagination, it's funny in the Bible, Genesis 6, verse 5, it's the story of Noah, and it's the main reason that God gives why he is flooding the earth is because the people had an evil like imagination like all the time, you know? So, you know, actually reading about the imagination, it's amazing. It can be used to build and to create great things, and it can lead me down a path of destruction as well. Like, and you know, we actually read that, you know, if a man actually lusts after like a woman in his heart, even you've already sinned.
Yeah.
And I think like, God, that's a high bar. Mm. You know, like if it just even like pops in my mind, or if I
like, oh,
entertain it, oh shoot, I sinned, you know? No, but it just shows you that he is like really interested in the hearts of, you know, man. Mm. And like he cuts right to the core of us, you know? And it's just important to have like a healthy, like a really healthy thought process and imagination. A couple of things I thought about is a couple of authors that have great Christian imaginations. C.S. Lewis,
mm-hmm.
fantastic. if you can read some of his things, like he has it, it's amazing, and that can feed you, you know. I think of Chesterton as mm-hmm. well. Like he is fantastic when it comes to his thought process and his imagination. So it's important to feed it, you know, and to have a good godly outlet that you know feeds you. So yeah
I think that the same, like on the same thought process is like if you have a artists, like singers, you can see how creative this person can be. Like if you just watch a music video these days, that's not a Christian music video, you can say, like, if you're naturally looking at it, you can say that was very creative, but oh my God, that was very weird.
Yes.
Like, and it really shows, like, what I'm thinking is reflected in what I'm doing. You know, like, if I'm not thinking about these crazy things, my music or that artist's music is not going to reflect something crazy. But then you have like somebody who is thinking with God, like a Christian artist. It doesn't always have to be a Christian artist, but
yes.
You know, you can see it in the way they dress, in the way they communicate their style, in the words of their lyrics. It really all just comes out in that thought process. So I think it's very important that we first get ourselves thinking correctly. And sometimes that can be hard. You can really have a rut like that you're in, and you can have a heaviness in your thinking. Like Philippe and I talked like a couple of years ago, we just sat on the sidewalk and we both were like, there's a heavy atmosphere at the moment. Like he was having a hard time. I was having a hard time. And just us talking it through, it cleared the air. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even with each other. It was just like
there.
It like, we weren't mad at each other or anything. He just like recognized something was up. And then we started talking and he was like, yeah, it's just hard. It's a hard, like the devil is just going to try to get in, you know, like he's the enemy. He doesn't want us to think with God. He doesn't want us to put our creative juices into something that's going to glorify God. He wants it to exalt him.
Yes.
So,
yeah. Like I think of an imagination. The first thing that we should know is that it's fallen.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And I can have my imagination go wild kind of when I'm like discontented
mm-hmm.
in my life. Like I would rather be in this different place
mm-hmm.
or I can imagine being with this person or like having this food or whatever it is. You know what I mean? Like it comes from a place of like not understanding that God can meet every single need.
He can satisfy us.
Yeah. He can like completely satisfy you. And if I can get that and understand that, it's like, phew, I'm free to be creative and have an imagination that is healthy and like clear and colorful and fun. And I don't have to live under that, you know,
the weight of that.
And I mean, it's a source of idolatry too. Mm. Like things that I put in place of, you know, God in my life, and it's because I'm not content with the place that I'm in. So but the good news is that our imagination can be redeemed. You know, can we talk about that?
Sure.
How can it be redeemed, like for the good? How can it be a godly? We actually talked about one already, actually feeding it with the things of God, and also making sure we actually use it, you know, that it's not stale or like sublimating. You know, we talk in our class, we actually talk about this in the worship class, about being creative when it comes to over consumption, that can kill it. You know, like I'm just eating these things, and I can take that same type of thinking and put it towards the church. Like I could be using the church to build and to create, or I can just have an attitude of like, I'm coming to consume.
Mm.
And that could be with my friends socially. That can be, I just need to hear the word, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. We need friends. Yeah. We need the word. We need that fellowship. But I think if I'm just focused on that, just eating all the time, I can kind of lose one thing that like gives me purpose. Mm. You know, it's actually to, you know, actually build and to
Yeah, and you create. Do that like through fellowship. So I think if I'm always just going to be a consumer and come to church and just hear the word of God and leave,
yes,
then my it is like you saying you're just like hiding your own portion. Like God is doing something in each of us, and we, you know, we have times where we need to just be a consumer, and especially us working in the church and here all the time.
For sure,
you need those moments of I'm just going to sit in church and not think about work.
I'm not going to think about you know, worship right now.
Yeah, you
I'm
come
gonna
in.
Try to.
It's like hard because you're like, okay, I'm looking at the stage that I'm on all the time. How do I like not? But it really is work to try to just like sit there, receive what the pastor has for you.
Yes.
And not think about anything else. And that can be very hard.
Yes, for
but
sure.
Those are, we need those times because if we're just give, and we're never taking in,
yes.
That's also a problem. It's the same as just being a consumer and taking.
Ooh.
So like you have to be able to give and take. That's like also how relationships work.
Yes.
And I think like a way we can do that is to be thinking with God, like we said, like, and like in Philippians 4:8, it says like, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things continually. Center Amen. Your mind on them and plant them in your heart. Mm-hmm. And I think if we're constantly doing that, you can't do that once and be like, okay, I'm good. I'm good to go for the rest of my life.
It's constant.
Because life gets in the way.
Yes.
You know, like, there's always something, even in the church, even working with believers. And sometimes working with believers can be the hardest thing, you know, I don't know, you know, I'm sure you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know.
Because you're like, I can't, like, we are all thinking, we're all like-minded in the big picture of like salvation and stuff like that. But sometimes it's like, I can't get away. Like, sometimes you might be like, I want a different perspective that is not this perspective. That might sound bad, but sometimes you can just get very familiar with each other and you're like, great, I got to go to church with you now too. Like
sure.
I work with you, go to church with you, can't get away from you.
That can be the tough part.
Yeah, but that's also where I have to think correctly about those situations and you have to think, you have to like, it's really like, he lists a lot of things there, but it's really all just one thing. And
yes.
It's like thinking with God and having his thoughts for each thing in life and each situation. And yeah. I think that's like one of the biggest things is our thought process about stuff.
Yeah, it's important. Like it's having a perspective that's from above. Sometimes when you're kind of in it, you know, like I think of, you know, this past month, you know, with the conference, like it's like you're in it and it's like heated and there's like so many details going on. It's like, whew, I need a new perspective from God. I need to think his thoughts. Like I can have his peace. Like I have access to his mind. Mm. Like thank God that is our truth. Like his truth, like to us that he's actually taken his life and actually breathed it in us. And he brings us up to his level. And now we can see eye to eye, you know, like I think of like a dog or like a kid. Sometimes you can play down to them. Like, you know, I can talk with a weird voice or something, but God doesn't do that with us. You know, he, through his life, through his way, through his truth, like he actually brings us up to his level. Like, and now we see eye to eye and
then I can, things to
us. And it's a whole new perspective from up there.
Yeah.
And I don't say that to be, you know, proud or to have pride. It's like, it's just one of the fantastic benefits like of being a Christian is that I have a new perspective on things that are creative, a new way of thinking that is just amazing, really.
Yeah, because naturally we just want to cling to things that are like on a base level, like surface level. We cling to the dust, and that's where we're drawn to, like, just there's a constant pull. But like, I really liked that vision, that like example that you gave, that he pulls us up and like shines on us like him.
Yeah.
And because really we were created to, for his glory and his purpose, and also to like collaborate with him in the vision that he has in our lives. And yeah, I think like we can't do that if we're just like down here all the time.
No, it's not possible. There's a verse that, like you just talked, like you just said, that I thought of. This is the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 2, and it speaks of two laws. Two laws that really has an impact on man. Sorry, this is not my Bible. This is huge. It's like one chapter per page.
It's the large print.
Large print. Okay. Verse 2, for the law of spirit of life. So that's the first law. Mm. For the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Like, that's the second law, like the law of sin and death. And I think about anything that's in my imagination or I create is like clinging to that second law. Like, mm-hmm. I like think of our, like our bodies, our health, our everything is like falling down to the ground. It's like cleaving,
yes,
you know, to the dust, to the grave. But there's only one other law that can like cancel that out. And that's like the law of spirit of life through Christ that can like completely wipe that out. So, you know, without that life, without that spirit, it's like, what are we even doing? Mm. It, you know, it speaks again to like purpose. Mm. I'm not like, I'm just kind of wasting my time here, you know?
Yeah.
Not on this show, but.
Why am I here? This was pointless.
With that being said, any last thoughts?
I think it's great to just constantly be thinking about things with God and working together to be imaginative and bring things to his glory. And I'd rather think big than not think at all. You know, like, I'd rather have a huge idea in my head and have, yes, it fail than to stop having ideas that are, you know.
Yeah, that's great. Like, I think huge, and people think I'm crazy sometimes. I have so many doubters, but it's okay.
Yeah. It's okay. I'm great in my own mind.
That was the craziest thing I've ever heard, Julius. That's never going to work. And sometimes they're right.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, I would rather be that way, like you said.
You're like, don't stop creating.
Don't stop. Yeah. Don't stop creating. Okay, cool.
No, this was good.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, likewise.